Now, President Trump's visit to Tennessee on Monday focused on rural America with a speech before a Farm Bureau convention and the signing of executive orders aimed at expanding broadband access in rural America. Lack of reliable high-speed internet is just one of many factors at play in limited rural economic growth. Federal policies such as immigration reform and overall spending can also have major impacts on rural economies. Tessa Conroy is an economic development specialist at University of Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin Extension Center for Community and Economic Development, and an assistant professor in the UW-Madison Department of Applied and Agricultural Economics. Tessa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's look at the economic recovery in rural America, rural Wisconsin in particular. Slower than in, say, urban America, right?
Definitely. When you look at rural America or rural Wisconsin job growth compared to the urban areas, it has been slower. And I think part of that has to do with the different industrial composition in rural places relative to urban places. We have more agriculture, more farming, more manufacturing, a larger public sector. And in particular, agriculture and manufacturing have gotten leaner, that you can do more with fewer people, so they're just not adding the jobs that they used to.
So automation is part of that story in manufacturing, and I imagine in agriculture as well?
Potentially, I think so, that we, again, doing more with less people, we've become more productive, but that means potentially less employment.
And you said farming and manufacturing. I think sometimes when we think rural, what pops into our head is a lot of farms, but farming is not the whole story when it comes to rural economies.
Exactly. When we think about a rural economy, they're really pretty diverse. Farming as a source of income is only about 5% in rural Wisconsin. So things like manufacturing, like the public sector, matter a lot as well.
And let's get into some of what the president had talked about. And let's start with access to broadband, to high-speed internet in rural areas. This is an issue that people have been talking about in Wisconsin a lot. We hear from our listeners in rural and even closer to cities sometimes than you might think, saying this is a limit on the quality of life and the economy. What do you make of the role of broadband access?
I do think broadband is a weak spot in rural Wisconsin. That makes it kind of harder for businesses to operate and also less desirable place to live. I think a lot of people, especially maybe in the kind of 20 to 34 age group, they want to be able to get Netflix. They want to be able to connect to their employers. So having good internet service is kind of part of what they're looking for, I think, from a quality of life perspective.
So is that something that limits economic growth significantly?
I don't know how significant the factor is in terms of what the constraints are. I think that some of the other issues that are also facing rural America should be considered alongside broadband.
And then the president also highlighted the recently passed federal tax law and tax cuts, saying, hey, this is going to help farmers in particular. What are some of the tax needs for people in rural areas?
That's difficult for me to say. I think that surely there will, you know, likely be some short-term benefits, how long those last. There was some notes about the estate tax in particular for farmers being a good thing. What I've read and what I've seen says that a relatively small portion of farms are actually going to be affected by that change in the estate tax. So we'll have to wait and see.
And I want to get into a couple other issues and issues that have been big for candidate Donald Trump and President Donald Trump, trade and immigration. The president spoke out against a lot of current and potential international trade deals. There's a renegotiation of NAFTA with Canada and Mexico going on right now. This is a huge, complicated question, but what on balance are farmers looking at when it comes to trade agreements?
I think in particular with NAFTA, that Canada and Mexico are really important trade partners for agriculture. So the idea of potentially losing those or even the uncertainty that could come with a change in the agreement could provoke some anxiety among our agricultural producers. With immigration, I think that for agriculture, that, you know, with limited access to labor, that these immigrant pools of labor have become really important. And to the extent that, you know, where the administration is signaling a shift in policy, that that's adding additional uncertainty to kind of where are we going to get our labor, and not only kind of where are we going to get it, but how much is it going to cost? And that could mean shifting more towards automation potentially. There's some point at which labor becomes expensive and you have to start thinking about alternative methods.
We're talking to Tessa Conroy from the UW Extension Center for Community and Economic Development about the rural economy in Wisconsin and around the nation after President Trump talked to a Farm Bureau group about his rural priorities. Tessa, you've written in the past about entrepreneurship in rural Wisconsin? What do we see out there?
I would say rural Wisconsin is surprisingly entrepreneurial. That rural Wisconsin, compared to our urban areas, our metro areas, we have higher rates of proprietorship. So that's signals at least one kind of self-employed person. We also see higher rates of business survival. And I think that part of that speaks to just the resourcefulness of rural economies. I think some people are self-employed in rural areas because they have to be. And so there's a certain kind of stick-with-itness that comes with a rural economy, and that those potential, that entrepreneurial potential, is really there.
I think given how our pop culture works and our media coverage, people think entrepreneurship and startups and are thinking high-tech Silicon Valley company. Also, that might be the proprietor of a farm business. It might be an independent contractor who puts up their shingle as a business person.
Definitely. Agriculture, in a lot of ways, is one of the more entrepreneurial occupations that we have. But on the whole, farms are about one-sixth of our proprietors. So there's still, again, speaking to the rural economy, there's a lot more going on out there. And we can think about a diverse rural economy.
Are there policy changes that might help those entrepreneurs in different sectors in rural Wisconsin?
I do think the broadband is part of it, because a lot of our self-employed folks are non-employers. They're potentially working from home. So connecting to suppliers, connecting to customers does require internet. So I think that's encouraging.
You've also talked about the impact of public spending and public employment in rural areas. How does that play out?
The public sector generally is a larger source of earnings in rural areas, closer to 20% relative to, say, closer to 15% in urban places. So what that means is that in rural areas, and I think that you see it when you drive through, the schools, the road department, the post offices are these really important employers in rural areas. So rural areas are going to be sensitive to changes in government spending. They're going to be probably felt more so than in a large, you know, more diverse economy like the Milwaukee area.
So with schools in particular, I mean, that could be a significant employer in a small town. We hear talk sometimes of a district consolidation. That could be a real economic blow and community blow to a small community if they lose that school.
I think so. I think a community to be attractive, to draw new residents, things like having a school, having some healthcare services are really important. So once you lose your schools, that becomes a really major challenge.
Looking at the printed statement from the White House, one issue they raise is transportation in rural areas. We've talked about this on Central Time before. When you think public transportation, you think a city and buses or some kind of fixed rail thing. There are a lot of transportation challenges facing rural areas as well. Can you talk about those?
I think that in particular, what comes to mind is that some employers in rural areas are having to draw from pretty large areas to get the employees that they need. So that means their workers are driving quite some distance. So that can be expensive. You need a high quality car. You need to be able to afford the trip. So it can make getting to work a little bit more difficult. It can kind of reduce the incentive should you have to compare the wages to the cost of getting there.
And another issue, again, on that White House statement was healthcare access. And we've talked to state lawmakers from both parties on the show in the past, talking about how this can be a real quality of life and economic issue in small communities if they don't have access to physical healthcare, mental healthcare, in some cases addiction treatment. How big a factor is that?
I think it is an important factor. I think that the limited availability of healthcare services, of mental healthcare services in rural areas, is definitely a factor. I think that there are some kind of innovative things happening in terms of people being able to get care kind of through the phone, able to connect with providers and that kind of thing. But again, kind of like the schools, these are basic kind of quality of life questions that we need to address in rural America.
And I keep, every now and then I'll see a chart from a state or a community showing who the big employers are over time. And healthcare providers keep creeping up those lists. So how big a part of a job sector is healthcare in rural Wisconsin?
In general, we kind of lump education and healthcare together oftentimes, and this is kind of one of the biggest sectors. But that's true across the state. That's not just rural Wisconsin. That's true in urban areas as well.
We're talking to Tessa Conroy, Economic Development Specialist at the UW Extension Center for Community and Economic Development. She's also an assistant professor at the UW-Madison Department of Applied and Agricultural Economics. She's with us to talk about policy issues affecting rural America and rural Wisconsin. We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. Are you in rural Wisconsin? What do you think about some of the issues we've been talking about? What are the barriers, you think, to economic success for your community, for your household, for that matter, in rural Wisconsin? What do you need? Is it the rural broadband that we've heard a lot of bipartisan talk about at the state and federal level? Are there transportation issues? Do you have access to health care? Call in at 800-642-1234. And if you're a farmer, of course, the president talked to a Farm Bureau group. What are you looking for from the federal government, from the new farm bill that is up for negotiation? It's a big, complicated document. Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about how federal policy can affect rural parts of the country and rural parts of Wisconsin. Yesterday, President Trump addressed the American Farm Bureau and made the case for a number of reforms he'd like to see to help rural areas, including signing a bill aimed at better high-speed internet access in rural America. Tessa Conroy is with us from the UW Extension Center for Community and Economic Development, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are in a rural area, a small town, what are the challenges your community is facing with the long, slow recovery from the Great Recession? Have you recovered in your area? If not, what do you need? What could the federal government do to help, the state government, businesses? What successes have you had? Is this rural broadband issue important to you? Is this a problem for your area, for your style of life, for your community? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Why don't we just briefly touched on the immigration issue, Tessa, and you mentioned that a lot of agricultural enterprises and others are dependent on immigrants. What happens, especially with farms, if that is slowed down, if they don't have access to that immigrant labor?
I think when part of it is the affordability issue, so we have to be able to get affordable labor, so kind of quantity and quality. And if we have to raise wages to do that, that kind of changes the calculus of production. You start thinking about the point, when is this becoming expensive enough that I need to consider automating or a different method of production and reduce the need for labor altogether? And I think that, you know, we're starting to see those pressures creep in on our farmers and production, agriculture.
Let's go to our call. Oh, sorry. Let's go to our callers at 800-642-1234. Dennis is on the line in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. When I was doing research work for a local research company, some things that people complain about in the rural areas is the local clinics and sometimes hospitals are pretty much just a place to go get a bandage. So if you combine broadband access and medical care, when a specialist in a place where, like, say, Madison or Milwaukee ward, can say to a physician's assistant or a nurse practitioner, hey, this is what this person needs, this is what you need to do to treat that person, that can be the combination right there to get specialized care in a far-off place.
Dennis, thanks a lot for the call. So remote medicine in a way, and I usually think of that as the patient directly contacting the provider, but that's an interesting, you know, having that online consult between the local provider and the specialist in the city.
Yeah, it's an interesting overlap of issues and potentially a solution as well in rural areas. You know, that connectivity can help alleviate some of those kind of local needs for healthcare.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Kelly on the line in Cascade. Kelly, hi.
Hi. My family, my husband and two kids, and I moved back to Wisconsin from the Pacific Northwest with an interest in opening up a farm-to-table kind of cooking school. We chose Wisconsin because it just seemed like farm prices were cheaper, Milwaukee had a lot going on in the foodie industry. I've been pretty shocked at just the contrast in rural Washington State. It just seemed like there was a lot more going on in the rural communities, more progressive kinds of things. Here, we had to chop down a tree to get internet access, and that was kind of shocking. We called out like four or five different providers, and nobody could get access to the cell tower, and finally they said you have to cut down that beautiful tree if you want internet access. We chose to be here, so we're dealing with all of those things. I feel like we're kind of on the frontier of trying to be a part of a wave of hopeful change here. But, yeah, just very different compared to what we've come from.
Kelly, thanks a lot for calling and sharing your experience. So this is maybe a place where Wisconsin is lagging compared to at least Washington, Kelly says, Tessa.
And I think your experience speaks to the challenge of rural broadband and kind of rural internet service in that it's a high cost, low density problem. So making that appealing to internet service providers is a challenge. So I think that we have to figure out ways to get around that.
And Kelly brings up another issue we've heard some about for that farm entrepreneur. It isn't necessarily just we're going to grow lots of a commodity and sell it. We're going to have some kind of specialized service, value-added service, whether farm-to-table in this case. We've heard of agritourism, value-added products, like you know, canning your goods and selling them at markets. How big a part of the story is that?
I think that there is growing interest in kind of boutique farms and local foods and organic farming. I think that some of those farms are facing some higher costs and they have a challenge in distribution. They're going to need more than their local farmers market to make that profitable. But I'm interested to see how that particular sector evolves.
Kelly, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about the economic situation, economic needs in rural Wisconsin, rural America, after President Trump spoke to a farm group yesterday about his goals for rural America. Tessa Conroy with us from UW Extension and the UW Madison. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Peter is with us in Madison. Peter, hi.
Hi, I think expanding broadband to rural parts of the state and rural parts of the country would be a great way for Democrats to win a lot of votes of people who have given up on the Democratic Party, and I really hope that they do it. If you look at the New Deal, FDR, he expanded electricity to rural parts of the country where it was not economically viable, but the government subsidized it because they understood it was part of living, that having electricity. I think in our day and age, having access to the internet is extremely important. And it would be a good strategy for the Democrats to win more voters in rural areas.
Peter, thanks for the call. And we've seen, of course, a Republican president and Republicans here in Wisconsin highlight the issue. It's not going to be necessarily cheap to do this, is it, Tessa? These are remote areas. It's not apparently profitable for companies to lay those internet tubes, as people call them, the lines to get there.
Right. So I think thinking about what incentives are going to be necessary to get service out there, whether that's, I don't know, what would be the public investment or what it would take to make it profitable for service providers. But I do think that that's one of the challenges.
Thanks for the call, Peter. We go next to Kim on the line in Sun Prairie. Kim, hi.
Hello there. And actually, I am on the road between Tomah, Wisconsin and Sun Prairie. It's an hour and a half drive I make every morning and every evening. To my work position. I am a psychiatric nurse practitioner who is moving to a rural area in order to provide some mental health care for an underserved population.
Wow. So how you're working with an agency in that rural area, how did you get hooked up with that?
They were recruiting me pretty hard, as is everybody else is recruiting for psych providers in Wisconsin. There aren't very many of us.
And are you're going to move out of Sun Prairie to there, is that right?
Yep, I have a daughter who's a senior in high school, and I'm not going to pull her out too early.
Gotcha. Kim, thank you so much for sharing that experience. And we hear with whether it's healthcare providers, teachers, some other positions, kind of a competition for rural areas to try to lure people like Kim to work there.
Right. So I think thinking about the desirability of these rural communities and what we can do to make them desirable places to live and really think about the quality of life issues is going to be important for getting the type of workers we need.
Thanks, and congratulations on the impending graduation, too. We'll go next to Kristen on the line in Daggett, Michigan. Kristen, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about?
Well, thanks for taking my call. And I don't want it to be too much of a personal story, mm-hmm. but it is. I worked in the mental health field for many years. I live on the border of the UP of Michigan and Wisconsin. And I recently have had to seek some professional help for myself. And it took me 9 months to get in to see a psychiatrist in this area after being released from an inpatient facility for depression. And I guess some of the services where I live come out of the state of Wisconsin. That's why I feel it's appropriate for your show. I don't understand why the government hasn't figured that out yet. That's a terrible burden on people who live in rural areas to try to seek professional help.
Kristen, thanks a lot for the call. And we've heard efforts from lawmakers, at least proposals, for a lot of different kinds of professionals, lawyers, mental health providers, others, to come up with maybe tuition-related incentives to get them to provide services in these areas.
Yeah, I think there's an opportunity to think about what kind of recruitment mechanisms or incentive structures would be appropriate. But beyond that, I think people are really looking for a desirable place to live. So again, coming back to that placemaking and thinking about what makes rural Wisconsin and these rural communities who do really have a lot of strengths, what can make them desirable places to live.
Kristen, thanks for that call. And Tessa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Tessa Conroy, Economic Development Specialist at the UW Extension Center for Community and Economic Development. She is an assistant professor in the UW-Madison's Department of Applied and Agricultural Economics. Joins us to talk about President Trump's speech to the American Farm Bureau Federation and about the economic needs of rural America and rural Wisconsin in particular.